The message today is self-refuting relativism. Self-refuting relativism, the final insanity. Please read with me through these verses that we've been looking at in this Youth Disconnect series. Why the youth are disconnecting from God, from the house of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, let's read. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Holy Father, we do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will indeed bless this message. I do pray you'll speak to us, God. Help us to be better Christians. Help the youth, Lord, to learn and beware. Father, give us what we need today, that it be not in vain. Thank you for the house of God, for all that you've gathered here today, those that listen online. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, we've been teaching a Youth Disconnect series. Why are young people disconnecting from biblical Christianity? From the God of biblical Christianity, from His churches, from godly parents, and from their teachers. And we've shown many reasons over these few months. One of the reasons is prophesied by God. In the last days, perilous times shall come, and you see the youth disconnect right here, disobedient to parents. The Bible says they will not endure sound doctrine. They can't endure it. That means they're soft, too soft. They're unable to deal with the truth. They were raised to be soft by parents, by society, by media, by entertainment. Parents say, well, I didn't intend them to be soft. Well, when you don't do what you're supposed to do, they're soft. They're soft. But one central issue I want to concentrate on today is the issue of headiness. I have it underlined here. Heady. Heady. I then want to show that this headiness is related to this issue that we call relativism, moral relativity. And then I want to show that it's self-refuting. It's a hippie mystical way of thinking that has cursed America. It's madness. So if you are heady, in spite of what it sounds, you are not thinking. At least you're not thinking in the careful way that you should be thinking. This means you must be doing what Eve was doing when Satan tricked her. She thought she was thinking. She thought she was smarter than Adam. She thought she was smarter than God. And if you talk to the devil, there's a good chance you'll end up like that too. See, she began to think that she was the source of truth. And then she began to separate herself from her Father. I don't care what the authorities that God gives me say. I don't care what God Himself says. I now see with my own eyes that this is good for food. Now listen, you're to test every authority by the Word of God. The King James Bible. Get you a hold of a King James Bible. Believe it. God has given you His Word in English today. You grab a hold of that thing and praise God that you have a Bible. You're to test every authority by that authority. But it's important that you do not separate yourself in an arrogant way from godly authority, from godly counsel, from careful reasoning, or separate yourself from your own conscience. See, what's happening today is the youth are being separated. First, they're in their own little clique. You know, it used to not be like that. It used to be that everybody gathered at home and everybody had the same entertainment. They had a good time. You know, when you see the prodigal come back home in the Bible, I mean, there was music and dancing and the whole family's together eating, having a good time. That used to be how it is. But then all of a sudden there was this isolation, you know, this separation. And then they're all divided with their own little age group in public school, and it got real cliquish, you know. And now they got their Facebook friends and all of that, and they got their own little world that they're living in, you see. They're separate. Now the problem is when you get separate from the authorities God has given you to help you grow, and God forbid when you get separate from God Himself, and you're separate from even yourself, the self God wanted you to be. You're isolated from your conscience. Remember it says in Jude, in the last days, how they told you. The Lord told you, His apostles told you, that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. They think they're smart though. These be they who separate themselves. They don't separate themselves from their sinful buddies. They separate themselves from God's churches, see. And I believe they've separated themselves from their conscience. They're sensual, having not the Spirit. They're living like the satanic Bible says to live, like an animal. Don't care about truth. The Bible says when the prodigal son woke up and he came back to God, he says, I'm going to go back to my father, his ranch. He was an adult. But he realized he left his father's vision that came from God. He'd hurt his father. He'd hurt everybody. He'd embarrassed his father. But most of all, he'd sinned against God. And the Bible says he came to himself. Boy, that's an important scripture. He came to himself. He says, you know, this conscience that I've been denying this whole time, that's been eating me up, you know, I'm coming to myself. I'm no longer going to run from my conscience. Folks, there's a time for a humble, careful, patient discussion, even a disagreement with those that are older, wiser, more experienced. There's a time to discuss things that you don't understand and you disagree with the authorities in your life. You ought to do that. You ought to know why you believe what you believe. You ought to go discuss these things. It says, well, what about this? What about that? Not in a rebellious way. But you better get some things straight. Dad, why do we do this? I need to understand. Why did you choose to do this? Dad, knowing your background, where you came from, why did you choose to live this way, Dad? Pastor, why do we do things this way? Talk to the older folks. Talk to the older Christians. But understand there is a difference between discussion, even a humble disagreement where you're trying to learn, there is a difference between that and rebellion and haughtiness. You know, the Bible says that a senior pastor is to not even rebuke an elder in a sharp way, meaning an older man. Timothy was a young man. And one of the things Paul says is, now listen, you're going to have a lot of elderly folks that you got a pastor. And you got to learn to respect, and when you got to deal with them, be sure to rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Matthew Poole says, the Puritan, rebuke an older man not too roughly, so that thy reproofs may look more like counsels and exhortations than rebukes. In other words, if a pastor is not to be haughty and sharp and disrespectful, how much more should you respect and honor the aged and your parents? And the Bible said they'll be disobedient to parents in the last days. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This hot-headed way you treat your mama, the way you treat your daddy, the way you treat your pastor, the way you treat aged men. I tell you, you ought to respect folks. You ought to learn manners, and you parents ought to teach your children manners. They ought to get up, open the door, move out of the way, stand up when they enter a room, say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You got to learn to respect folks, respect the elderly, respect the authorities God has given you in your life, or you're a fool. And you'll grow up like a fool. And you'll never amount to anything. At least not before God. There was a pretty smart fella there in the book of Job. And there were some folks, some elderly men that had a lot of things wrong. But one of Job's friends was younger. We don't know how much younger. But the Bible says in Job 32, now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. He made sure everybody gave their view, and then he decided in a humble way that he has to disagree with it all. Do you see? It's not wrong to present your view. It's wrong to present your view in a hot-headed, rash, arrogant way where you're not listening. He sat and listened to everything they had to say. He was very careful, very respectful of these men, though they were wrong and though they were aged. But when you're arrogant, when you're rash, when you think you are your own God, when you think truth and reality is whatever you want it to be, whatever you feel it to be, then it's obvious you think truth is relative. Because if you have your truth that you've decided and you think that it's okay for you to go do whatever you want to do and disconnect yourself from everybody else, then you need to go help everybody else around you. Otherwise, you think truth is relative. It's not universal. The question, do you think there are universal standards or are there not? Is there a right and wrong? Is there a good and an evil? Who decides what's good? If you're a God, then you decide what's good for yourself. But the Supreme God said, every God that did not make heaven and earth is going to burn in fire. See, the devil said, Eve, you'll be a little God. You'll be a God. Well, sure. Because she decided morality for herself. She put herself in the place of God. God said, this is right and wrong. But Eve said, I'll decide what's right and wrong for myself. She died. She died. Anybody that follows the serpent will die. It's just, this relativism is really just old-fashioned rebellion, folks. It comes from talking to the devil. The Bible says in Hosea, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. There's a time to discuss authority. But when you're striving with your parents that are trying to help you do right, you're striving with your pastor, you're striving with the older Christians in your life that are trying to help you. You know, in the Bible, if it was bad enough, if you strove with your parents like that, you were put to death by stoning. Do you know if you rebelled enough against the priest, you were to be stoned? Why did they do that? Why did God, who made the Bible, say that you take the drunkard and the stubborn son that will not, after you've chastised him and he still won't hear, you're to stone him? Why did he do that? Now, we don't practice that today, and you better be glad. You better, boy, there's a lot of folks here, better be glad. Not a lot of you, but, you know, there's a few. Listen, the reason God did this, he'll tell you. Deuteronomy, the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth the minister there before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. Very presumptuous for this fellow to think he's God. Remember the children of Korah. The Bible said in the last days they'll walk like Korah did. And Korah said, I don't have to obey Moses. You take too much upon you. I don't have to obey the authorities that God gives me. I'll decide right and wrong myself. Now listen, the only standard we have is the infallible Holy Scriptures. And wherever a man goes wrong with that, you stick with the Bible. But you need to not be presumptuous about this thing. You understand? Where you just all of a sudden get haughty and think that you've got it all figured out And that rebellion spread. You get one rebel, he'll spoil all the apples around him. You know what I mean? Whoever follows that rebel is going to be spoiled. It says in the last days, they'll despise authority. Look at this, 2 Peter 2. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. They don't want any authority over them. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They go there, they smoke a little cigarette, they do whatever they're going to do, and they talk about their dad, see. And what's wrong? What did he do today? And they just talk. They get on Facebook Messenger and they just talk, you know. Talk about the dignity. Talk about the authorities in their life. That they're in rebellion from their church and they think they're going to be this little rock dude or something, you know, this little rap dude, whatever they're going to be. And they get in rebellion and say, yeah, that church, it doesn't understand nothing like I do, you know. They don't understand what a fool they are. They don't understand what a fool they are. Now, God could turn you into something with wisdom. But when you're presumptuous like this, you're not anywhere near the path of wisdom. You're not anywhere near the path of wisdom. You are so far from wisdom. It's ridiculous. Hey, I want you to remember something. I want you to understand it well. The book of Proverbs is primarily written for young adults. Do you know that? That's important, isn't it? You say, well, I'm glad I don't got to read the book of Proverbs anymore now that I'm an adult. Hey, go back and read it again. Go back and read it again. Hey, little children can get some application out of it. But you go back and read the book of Proverbs. That's not written to little children, my friend. Not entirely, not primarily. It's written to young adults. All that stuff about obedience and being a fool and not listening is so you don't go wrong at this crucial point of your life. You understand? Isn't God wise? He knows where you're going to tend to go wrong, so He strengthens you with wisdom at that point. See, what a blessing, what a blessing. Also remind you, the prodigal son was an adult. He wasn't a teenager. Now, if that's true, how much more should a teen humble themselves? How much more should a teen learn how to listen and be wise? You're not even an adult. What is this thing called headiness that they're going to walk in the last days? The Bible said they're going to be heady and disobedient to parents. What is that? It means headstrong, hasty, impetuous, says Online Etymology Dictionary. Headstrong, hasty. I'm just going to go do what I'm going to do. Did you think about it? Did you ask anybody? Son, before you went out and did this, did you talk to anybody? You know. In this day and age, they said, yeah, I messaged my friends on Facebook. I told them I was going to do it. Called my buddy on the cell phone. We talked about it last night. No, I meant did you talk to somebody for real? I meant did you talk for somebody that had a lick of sense in their brain? No, you didn't talk to grandpa. Didn't talk to dad. Didn't talk to your pastor. Man, oh man. Matthew Henry, way back then, says, youth is rash and heady and inconsiderate. Well, what he means is all of them have a tendency to be like that. You know what I mean? They all do. That's what the book of Proverbs is for, because you're young. Because you're going to tend to be inconsiderate, heady, and rash. If you come out from among that crowd, then you're a rare thing. You're a wise young person. That's very rare today. But it was even rare way back then. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? What is that word impetuous that we just saw? It means to be done or given with a rush of force. So it's the same thing, just rushing right in. Now, so here's the idea. Why did you do what you have done? Why do you do what you do? Why do you dress the way you dress? Why do you act the way you act? What are these choices in your life? What is in your car? What type of music are you listening to? What are you drinking during the day? What are you eating during the day? What are you ingesting spiritually and physically in your life? In other words, why are you making the choices that you are making in your life? You know what many say today? I don't know. So really, because you felt like it, right? So you gave no more thought than that, well, others were doing it, and so I just decided to do it too. Look cool to me. What does that even mean? What does cool? Cool is a marketing. There's a documentary called The Marketing of Cool. You understand? In other words, cool is sold to you because they believe you're a numbskull. I think when they started to put Facebook together, they said they can't believe, and they cussed how stupid these young people are. You know, it's a marketing thing. You are a product. The Bible said in the last days they will make merchandise of you. You don't think communists and people that want to take over America, they're going to use that, folks. So when you go to make a decision, a lot of people say, well, I believe God agrees with me, and I believe God's leading me to do this. So these are people that are going to do more than just shrug their shoulders. There can be such a mess today that folks would just look at you and say, I don't know. And you could just rave right in front of their eyes. Is anybody home? Are you there, man? Why did you do what you did? I don't know. Do you talk? Do you do something other than grunt? If they do give an explanation, it's, well, I felt God was leading me. Oh, that's a big one, isn't it? I felt God was leading me to do this. Well, you got to learn how God leads you. You got to learn what that means. You don't just say, God led me to do something. Let's go way back to Upham's Divine Guidance. Back when they had this stuff straightened out. Indeed, if the suggestion comes from God, it is presented with this very object, not to lead us to an action without judgment and without reason, but to arouse the judgment from its stupidity. By judgment, he means your reason, correct? He means your understanding. In other words, God's not going to tell you to do something stupid. God's not going to tell you to do something satanic and wicked. See, think this stuff out. God says, come let us what? Reason together in the King James Bible. The Bible says, oh, that we might be saved from unreasonable men, because all men have not faith. That's what Paul said in the King James Bible. Let's look. John Wesley, remember, he started the Methodist Church. Way back, he says, do not hastily ascribe things to God. Try all things by the written word. You are in danger of enthusiasm every hour if you depart ever so little from Scripture. Yea, or from the plain literal meaning of any text taken in connection with the context. And so you are if you despise or lightly esteem reason and knowledge. Praise God for that. Wow, that's what we need in this day and age. G.D. Watson says, the Holy Ghost never guides us contrary to the Word. Yeah, well, God told me. Well, that wasn't God that told you, because you went against the Bible. You got to quit listening to the devil. The devil will come and disguise himself as an angel of light. The devil will come and whisper to you and say, this is God talking. If you really think about it, you know good and well it's your flesh. If you just give it a little bit of thought, you say, no, this is what I really want to do. I'm just convincing myself it's God telling me to do it. Ooh, man. There's a book called Impressions, and a very, very awesome book, 1892. It says, Impressions from above always give sufficient time to the honest seeker to test their genuineness. Those from below, impressions from below are in a hurry, and fearing detection, lest you know they're devils, clamor for immediate decisions. While it's true when duty is clearly known that the king's business requires haste, yet when it is not clearly known, it is just as true that he that believeth shall not make haste. So we need to think about this, folks. You need to think about the fact that the devil's going to say, just hurry and do it. Just do it. Just do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. Do it now. Go. Folks, that's the devil. The Holy Ghost says, no, I wrote you 66 books that says, in a multitude of counselors is wisdom. Check it by the word of God. See if it's true. Slow down and be slow to hear. I'm quick to hear, swift to hear, slow to speak. And let's see if God really is behind this thing. Now listen, here's one thing you got to be afraid of. Proverbs 14 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, I did test it, and it seemed right to me. Well, if there's a way that seems right, but it leads to death, then you got to test it again, right? And you got to test it by going to others, say, that are wise. And you know what? You say, well, why didn't you bring it to so-and-so? Why didn't you come and ask me? Why didn't you come and ask somebody else? You know what they say? Well, I know what you'd say. I already knew your answer. Well, how about that? How about that? Number one, you might not know my answer, but number two, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. There's a way that seems right. There's a way that seems right. What does that mean? Proverbs 18, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searches him. It means you could be watching a trial, and they get up, and the first person goes and presents their case, and you're like, this man's guilty. Woo, man, I know he's guilty now. Look at that. And then the defense gets up and gives their case. You're like, oh, man, I'm not sure now. I'm not sure. I think he's innocent. Well, just then you thought he was guilty. I know, but I got new information. You see how quick your mind can change when you get new information? If that's true, then there's a way that seems right into a man. You need new information. You got to study this thing out. One little change can the whole thing. I mean, you're doing an experiment and you're trying to come up with a conclusion. One little variable change will produce a totally different outcome. Just one little piece down here. Hebrews says, now no chastening when God whips you for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised. Everybody, you say, I'm going through a hard time, I'm going through a hard time. And then hear you later when you're wiser and you get blessed and you're like, boy, I'm so glad God whipped me. He just fixed me right now and I'm in fullness of joy. And oh, that was the best thing that could have happened unto me. Well, you didn't like it back then. Yeah, it didn't seem very enjoyable back then. But boy, I tell you what, I'm so glad it happened. See, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now he keeps the Lord's word. Amen. Praise God when he gets a hold of you. It doesn't seem fun at all. So you need to understand that you might not in your experience, see, this is what you think. This is what you've been taught by the media and Hollywood and by your own flesh and by the devil. You've been taught that if something's true, you're going to like it. You've been taught that all of reality, if it's good, you're going to like it and approve of it. Well, that's the dumbest thing you could have. Why don't you raise a little toddler and everything that toddler likes? You tell me that everything he likes is good for him? Everything he wants to do is good for him? You know good and well that's insanity. You don't raise your pets like that. You don't have pets and say, well, everything my dog wants to do, I just let it do. You're an idiot if you do that. The dog will get out of here and get killed. So you've got to learn right now as a young person, just because it doesn't feel good to you doesn't mean it's right and good for you. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's not true. You've got to grow before you start liking and appreciating. No man, when he gets the new wine, says the Lord Jesus, this new grape juice, he likes it immediately. No, he says the old is better. You know. When it comes to alcoholic wine, don't even look at it. But when it comes to Bible good wine that the Bible said is in the grape, that's good stuff. And they would sweeten it with honey and add cinnamon and all kinds of spices. And it would sit there and soak up those spices and it'd be really, really good. So I'm trying to let you know you've got to look for this afterward right here. You got to understand that you're not going to just all of a sudden feel like you're not just going to feel good about the things that are true, which is why the Bible says they're not going to endure it. They're not going to endure truth. The Bible says in Proverbs 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. If you are a fool, then whatever you think or feel, you're going to say, that's right. That's because you're a fool. Why are you a fool? Because that's a dumb thing to do. Because you're probably wrong. You're likely to be wrong. You got to test it. But if you're a fool, you're going to say, oh no, I like it. It must be right. I thought it, didn't I? It feels good to me. It must be right. Because, see, I'm just divine. Whatever I feel, if I like it, it must be right. You're a fool, man. You're just a fool. There's no other word to describe it. You're a fool. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel, oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. There's going to be somebody God's going to send you in your life that's going to try to teach you. Going to try to teach you and help you. Question, are you going to be a fool or are you going to be wise? Oh, man, let's move on. Watch this one here. Proverbs 21, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Now, that's sad. We were doing pretty good for a while, weren't we? Because we could look over there at them fools and say, ah, see your problem? You're a fool, man. I don't want to be like that. Now we learn, guess what? We're all fools. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad? So what we have to do is start out realizing you're a fool. As a young adult, you got to say you're a fool. That's how you start out. And now you've got to learn to be wise. Learning to be wise is something you learn through self-discipline and self-control and making good decisions through the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. But every man is right in his own eye. Everybody naturally thinks they're right. Everybody naturally thinks, well, I like this. Boy, this sounds good to me. Must be right. That's what the physicists are doing now. Hey, that looks pretty to me. It must be true. But the Lord ponders the hearts. That means you got a judge up there. You better watch out. The judge is watching. The judge is watching. Proverbs 16 says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. Wow. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. You know why you do what you do? Because you think it's right. It seems right. Because we're all fools and the heart is deceitful. So it just seems so right to you. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be punished. That's another reason, because all your friends think it's right. Or whoever it is that you're hanging out with, that you should not be. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So when people fall, they usually get proud before they fall. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Look, he puts it right here. But the end thereof are the ways of death. What is the way that seemeth right? Well, whatever I think. Whatever I think seems right to me. And there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. I say, do you think your actions please your dad, mom right now? No, they're probably grieved about it. Well, why are you cursing? Did God tell you to do what you're doing? No. Then why would you curse your dad, mom? There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. That generation's here, folks. If you want to know what the youth disconnect is all about, they're pure in their own eyes. They haven't grown up learning anything about sin. They didn't grow up learning about the Ten Commandments. They didn't grow up getting whippings. They grew up just whatever they do. You're right. Oh, what a little smart little creature you are, you know. And I'm so worried about your self-esteem. And I hope your self-worth is okay and your self-acceptance. And everything you do, I just want to talk about you and how special you are and all of that. And you've heard that your whole life. So this whole generation's grown up thinking they're God, man. They're gods. Whatever I say, whatever I decide, it's God speaking through me. Woo, that's a sad situation to be in. Because you're headed to destruction, man. You are headed to destruction. Isaiah says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Things must not be relative. It must be that you can't make good evil and evil good. It must be they're not the same thing. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe. Woe unto you. You think you're smart? Yeah. Well, then woe to you, says the Bible. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. I believe the idea behind heady is perhaps rooted in the agricultural. Standard Dictionary says heady means not easily controlled, rash as a heady horse. We've got some miniature ponies out here by the pond, and if you ever go play with them and try to put a halter on one and say, come here now, come here Scarlet, come here Charlotte, you're going to find what a heady horse means. And I tell you what, that horse, they're going to turn their head from you, and they're going to turn their head this way. You're going to say, no, come this way, and they're going to jerk their head the opposite way. Wherever you want it to go, it's going to jerk its head the opposite way, unless you got grade or feed, and then it's going to chase you down to try to get the feed. But so the Bible speaks of a heady horse, and anybody that knows anything about livestock will tell you why a stubborn, rash person is called heady. It implies they're not yielding to God or the authorities or counselors in their life. Their heads are turned away. They're stiff-headed. They're ungovernable. The Bible, most of the time, uses the neck as the stiff part. Whether it's heady here, you got a stiff head, or whether you got a stiff neck, the idea is from livestock. You've got a horse, you got a cow that you're trying to milk, and it just jerks itself away from you. You know, the horse jerks its way ahead, away from you with its neck. Notice, God says in Deuteronomy, "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck." See, just like a goat, a pony, a horse, an ass. "Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death?" When people got authorities in their life, the Bible says that they'll sometimes tend to do good, but when they get away from that authority, boy, they go south. They go to hell real quick, don't they? The Bible says, because they had no magistrate in the land, they were careless, and they lived carelessly. It says in Nehemiah, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and have hardened their necks." Hardened their necks. If you're guiding your horse and the pony's following you and then it stiffens its neck, it's going the way you don't want it to go. See, it's not being led. God wants you to not be stiff-necked. He wants to be able to lead you with the Holy Spirit. "And hearken not to thy commandments." Wow. Look at this one. Psalm 75, "Lift not up your horn on high." See, now we're talking about a heifer, a cow, bull. "Speak not with a stiff neck. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off." Why you got to cut them off? Because if this thing's going to be unyielding, boy, you got to cut them horns off, don't you? That thing will kill you. "But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted." See, God says, here's what's going to happen. To me, you're like a bull or a heifer. And here's what's happening. You're about to lose your horns. Because if you keep kicking against me, I'm just shaving them horns right off your head. And what that means is you're going to lose some glory in this life. If not, end up losing your life really quick here. God doesn't put up with it very long. Let me show you. Proverbs 29, "He that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." I think we'll eat that one. Why are we going to eat it? Well, because it's causing too much trouble anyway. Let's barbecue him. God's not going to eat you, but you get the point here, right? Isaiah, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks," there it is, "and wanton eyes. Clark says, "wanton eyes, falsely setting off their eyes with paint." He goes to the Hebrew. I don't do that, but he says in the Hebrew, it's falsifying their eyes. The point being is wanton can mean like a prostitute. Standard Dictionary, 1895. So the Bible's telling you not to be stubborn. The Bible calls a prostitute imperious, bossy, which you think is an old word, but think of an empire of a game, bossy, you know. The Bible says that Epstein helper that he had, the Bible says she was imperious. Not the Bible, the news said she was imperious, bossy, you know. So the Bible says, don't be like a prostitute. Don't be bossy and loud and stubborn, you know, and where you can't be controlled and God can't get a word in edgewise here. The word wanton means unmanageable, like in livestock, unruly, lascivious, unchaste, lewd, like a harlot. Isaiah 48 says, "Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew." Now that's crazy. A sinew is the tendon that connects the muscle to the bone. And a lot of people take it out and process it so it makes a really stiff cord. See, God says you're not even like that sinew that we use as a stiff cord. You're so stiff, you're like an iron sinew. And the fact that it's called sinew, because that's what you're going to end up doing, is sinning when you're like this. Isn't that true? Man, I tell you. You know, some of you know, you've heard this, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I couldn't wait to get a milk cow. I couldn't wait to get a milk cow. So we drove way over past Springfield to get this milk cow. And oh, I was so proud of our milk cow. I went and rented a U-Haul trailer to put my new milk cow in. And I said, now how many gallons is this thing going to give me? And he told me, and I was so excited. And by the time I got home, it was nighttime. And he said, now make sure you never stop milking or she's going to dry up. And I'm like, no, I don't spend too much money. I tell you what, I got to make sure she never dries up. And I tell you what, we're so happy, and my children were there, and we're just excited. And we opened up the U-Haul, and it's pitch black, and she's got a collar on her neck, and then she takes off. So I'm holding her, and she takes off in the field, and I'm not going to let go because I can't let go of this cow. But I can't control her because she's stiff-necked. You know, and I didn't know yet that you're supposed to have a halter on her nose to be able to control her. So I'm trying to control her with that stiff neck, and she just pulls me. She about killed me all around the place. And finally, I had to let go of her, you know. Praise God, we finally got her. And, oh, it was so sad. I had an SUV, and the next day we're trying to get her to move, and that thing took off again, and I wasn't able to control her. And my leg ended up lifting straight up to the back of the SUV with the rope tied around it and the cow on the other side. And I had one leg on the ground, the other leg on the top of the SUV stuck at the very top. And there goes the cow. And praise God, it's only by God's grace that that cow stopped to eat grass. I don't know what would have happened at that point. Because one leg was here, one leg was stuck on top of the car, and the cow was on the other side of the car. If she would have kept going, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. So I hollered at my children, and by God's grace, they took my shoe off, climbed on top of the car and took my shoe off. And I was able to slip my foot out of the rope. But folks, a rebellious cow can do you a lot of damage. Stiff neck, rebellious cow. That cow gave me so much trouble, I tell you. And sometimes they'll act like they're going your way. And you're like, oh, I'm glad it's going my way. And then they'll yank that head and go back the other way. And that's what some of you are like. That's how we are with God. You act like you're going God's way just to yank it and go back the other way. And you cause sometimes more damage than them cows do, you know? I mean, you get a backslidden heifer as a young daughter or a son, like one of these bulls. I tell you what, the problems you cause, it's just very sad, folks. It's very sad. It says in Jeremiah, yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they're not going to hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they won't answer thee. Cut off thy hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Our early fundamentalist forefathers, like D.M. Panton back in the 1920s, said, you know, there's going to come a time when women are going to cut their hair off, and you're going to know that that's the generation that's forsaken. It'll be a sign to you from God that he's forsaken that generation, you know. Ichabod, right? Ichabod over that generation. And God's still here for you, people. But I tell you what, he's probably turned his back on this nation. We better get on our faces and repent and get back to some holiness around here. Amen. It says, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. It says in 2 Chronicles, now be ye not stiff-necked as were your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. Yield, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. We could go on and on. Don't be rash. Don't be hasty. Don't go your own way, the relative way, as if there's no truth, that everybody can just choose whatever they want to do when it comes to standards of morality. Proverbs says, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way. You want your own way? God says, I'll give it to you then. You want your own way? You'll eat the fruit of it then. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, because they turned away from truth. They turned away from truth. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Okay, you want to go your own way? You'll eat of your own way. You'll eat of your own way. God says, I'll just sit back and I'll discipline them with their own choices. I'll show them why. You know, somebody says, I can look at the wine. I can look at the wine. Then you end up an alcoholic. You end up a drunk. Now you can't quit. Now you can't quit. You see that? You see what happened to you? You should have listened. See? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. God says, for all these things hath my handmaid, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. That means bruised. That means you're yielding to God. And he trembles at my word. You ought to be afraid of disobeying this Bible. You ought to say, what does God think about this? Amen? Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Isn't it sad to commit abominations and actually delight in your abominations? Ezekiel says, their own way have I recompensed upon their heads. Well, Ezekiel says, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way. See what your own way does? It makes a mess of things. Judges says, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, they ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. You know what the Bible says to do? Listen to me. In all thy ways, acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. Think about that. Say, you know what? In every decision I make, God, do you have anything to say about this? Does it please you? And I'm going to test it to make sure you said it. Boy, that's an amazing way to live, isn't it? And if somebody comes along and says, you're not doing this right, say, are you sure? Where are you getting your information from? Are you getting it from the Bible? Yeah, from the Bible. Okay, well, show me. I'm willing to learn. Won't be the first time I learn something. You know what I mean? And I probably got a whole lot more to learn. But I am pretty studied on this issue of why I'm doing it this way. So, you know, I might not immediately listen to you. I might be stubborn. But maybe down the road, I'll hear. If you're right, because we all got to stand before God, right? We all stand before God. And I've spent a long time as a pastor because the Bible says I get in more trouble. Everybody gets in trouble. The Bible says a pastor gets in more trouble. And so I want to make sure that I'm right. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. So there it is, folks. There it is right there. In all thy ways. That's in everything you do. Acknowledge God. Say, God, I'm doing this for you because you said it's okay to do this. You said this pleases you, God. Now you go up to a young person today and says, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you dressing like this, acting like this? Why are you doing all this stuff you're doing? Did you see if God's pleased with that? Watch what they say to you. They say, no, I never even checked to see if God's pleased. And if you talk to them long enough, they'll probably tell you that whatever they think, it'll start sounding like they're their own God. Or they've got a God that just, whatever they say, he just goes along with it. You know, what kind of God's that? If you got a God that you command, then you're God. See. So the idea is to prove that everything you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God, to obey God, for God. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, Romans 12, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Paul assumes that everything you do, you're going to want to be acceptable to God. But he gives us a very dangerous situation here. You open the Bible and you say, hey, pastor, I decided to look in the Bible to justify what I'm doing. And you know what? I found out it's all right. I found out what I'm doing is okay. Well, hold on a second. With what kind of mind did you study the Bible? Was it a renewed mind? What did you do before you studied the Bible? Oh, I listened to a bunch of harlot music and a whole bunch of bad stuff. I did some drugs and did all this other stuff. And then I got in the Bible, and sure enough, I found right in there that this is what I ought to do. Well, why don't you get prayed up? Why don't you get around some good people, get some Holy Ghost in you, get preached up, get in the Word of God, get in a new mind that's humble and yielding to God. In other words, you got to get yourself in a state where you said, God, if that's what you wanted me to do, that's what I'll do. I don't want to do that. It's going to be embarrassing to do that. It's going to give me a lot of trouble. It's going to be a big cross, God, if you're telling me to do this. But God, I'm honest. If you're really telling me to do that in the Word of God, I'll submit to it. I don't care what anybody says. You told Noah to go build a boat when it hadn't even rained yet. And he built it on land, and wow. So you ought to go do what God says, but you got to get yourself in the right frame of mind. That's all I'm telling you, folks. You got to get yourself in the right frame of mind. And God says if you tremble, He'll teach you. If you quit being a baby, He'll teach you. See, He says, why don't you grow up, quit nursing, and I'll teach you something. So if you come to God like a little spoiled brat and said, I want this to be true, show me, God, if it's true. God said, I'm not teaching you nothing. You got to get weaned first. You quit your stubbornness, and I'll teach you something. You come to me meek and quit demanding. You come and be willing to listen, and God says, I'll teach you something. Isn't that amazing? And when you get yourself in that state of mind, the Bible says, prove all things. Prove it. Prove that your way's right. Prove it. Why are you doing that, son? Well, I think it's okay with God. Prove it is. Prove it is. Prove it to me. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Prove it to me. Prove it to yourself. The Bible says in Ephesians, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you're full of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to be proving every single day whether something's right or not. But if there's no absolutes, if there's no truth, my little ones, I want y'all to go ahead. Listen to me a second. Because something is legal in regard to civil law, doesn't mean it's legal in regard to God's moral law. You ever thought about that? Because you shouldn't have the civil government punish somebody, and you shouldn't have a law against something, does that mean God doesn't have a law against it? See, you got to learn that. You got to learn that. To prove all things takes effort. Proverbs says, he that is hasty, a spirit exalteth folly. Proverbs 29 says, see thou a man that is hasty in his words, there's more hope of a fool than of him. Wow. You got to hush sometimes, man. You're hasty in your words. There's more hope of a fool than for you. You're not going to turn out well because you can't listen. Proverbs 19 says that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Yeah, you're too rash. You don't study things out. That's why you end up in sin all the time. The foolishness of man perverts his way. Now, if you know for sure, and you've studied this thing out, and you know for sure this is what God wants you to do, then do it, says Psalms 119. I made haste, says David, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. But you got to find out it's of God before you take off running, right? Mark 8 says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Don't delay. I'm telling you, this is why people delay. They say, God, I don't want to do that. I found out what your will was, and I don't want to do that. It'll be embarrassing. They'll call me names. You care what these people think? Well, you better care what God thinks, amen? You better care what God thinks. Saul, when he was a younger man, though he was grown, was very conscientious of his father. But when he became proud and puffed up, he stopped listening. It says in 1 Samuel, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. Saul wanted to do things his own way when he became haughty. So Samuel had to come and say, hey, you got rid of all the witches, right? Saul said, yeah, no witches around here. And you got rid of all the idols, right? Yep, no idols around here. Well, Samuel says, as an old man, he went up to his king and he said, guess what? When you disobey God, that's of the same class of sins as witchcraft is. You might as well be a witch. A lot of folks against the New Age movement and against witches and against witchcraft, they're not against rebellion. Bible says, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. You got to quit being stubborn if you're going to learn something. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Well, somebody told me this was true, so I believed it. You better get in the scriptures. We better test everybody. You better test everything that's taught to the best of your ability. Romans 14 says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That means if you're not sure that what you're doing is right, you need to settle down. You need to make sure, don't go do something until you know and you're sure that this is of God. Imagine a young person if he says, you know, everything I do, I want to make sure this is right. I want to make sure it's right. I wonder if God says anything about my appearance. I want to make sure that whatever I'm doing, I want to make sure if I wear that, that's pleasing to God. I want to make sure if I eat that, that that's acceptable. I want to make sure that if I view this movie or whatever, I want to make sure that's acceptable to God. I want to make sure. Let me find out a little bit about this thing before I watch it. Boy, you live like that? Boy, that must be a horrible way to live. Nope. Nope, it's not a horrible way to live. It frees my conscience. Amen. It brings me in fellowship with my Father. No, no, it's Holy Ghost living. That's what it is. See, living the other way is like an animal. It's like a backslidden heifer. In other words, Poole says, whatever a man doth with a wavering mind without being persuaded that it is pleasing to God and warranted by His Word, he sins in the doing of it. Pulpit commentary says, faith here denotes an assured belief that what one does is right. I preach from the pulpit what I believe is right after many years of study. And teach me. We got to all stand before God. We can deceive ourselves. Real quick, I want to tell you this, all right? As I close down, the biggest disconnect involves LGBT rights in the youth. About 71% of youth said they care about gay rights. How did you get such stupidity? That's what I want to know. Where did you get all that from? See? Why do you think that's right? Many young people consider themselves spiritual. Remember the Bible said it'd be a form of godliness? The Springtide study found that 78% described themselves as such. So these people say, I'm very spiritual and I don't go to that church. They say it's wrong to be, they even call it a sodomite. They say it's wrong to be a homosexual. I don't go to that church. Well, what Bible are you reading, man? What Bible? Well, I don't get my truth from the Bible. Well, that's your problem. I'm spiritual myself. No, you're not spiritual unless you get your truth and your facts from the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. A fellow says, I hear what priests and pastors say at the pulpit, and I say to myself, no, that is not what I believe in my heart. Your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Your heart is not the source of truth. It's what the Bible says. That's the source of truth. Referring to messages that people who are gay need to be guided away from homosexuality. These young adults are saying, I don't go to that church anymore. See, now you know what the problem is. The problem is they have not tested to see what's right and wrong because they've been taught they're little gods. And they can make up their own morality. Or they can just watch CNN and whatever they tell them that you're supposed to believe. So CNN's become their Bible. The latest Batman movie's become their Bible, see. Or whatever it is. Whatever it is. 58% of young people ages 13 to 25 told us, I do not like to be told answers about faith and religion. I'd rather discover my own answers. Well, I want you to grow, and I'm going to tell you something. You raise a homeschool generation, they're going to have a lot to build upon, the foundation. But don't pull up my foundation, amen? If your dad and mama's done gone out here and tried to learn truth, and they might not have been raised in that type of thing to a big degree. They had to get out here and learn it and find it and grow in it. They went through a lot of work and a lot of hell and a lot of sweat to put together what they put together as a heritage for you. Build upon their foundation. Don't just throw the whole thing upside down and spit on it. You understand? What it is just rebellion. And the Bible says, Proverbs 18, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. I want to go do my own thing. Second Timothy 3, you know what it says about them. Hey folks, there's evil spirits and evil people out there. You need to prove what you believe. Because you think you got it from yourself, and it actually was implanted in your heart, probably, by what you're listening to. And listen, they got a political agenda for a one-world government and the destruction of America, see? And you're allowing them, you think you're smart, and you're doing exactly what they want you. You're middle America. Do you understand that? It's the last, final, and middle America's not looking good right now, folks. I drove all over this country, and I looked at middle America. I said, this is about the best you can get in the country. And I looked at it and said, this is sad. You know, used to be you go to a rodeo, and they'd have Western music. You go to a rodeo now, a family rodeo, and it's rap music. I mean, it's like middle America. Here we are. I went up to Cowboys. I said, how long has this been going on, man? He said, oh, it's been about 2 years they started doing it. You see how we're losing it? You're losing it faster than you can blink your eyes, folks. You better start holding on to something and start grabbing on to something and start realizing that we need to prove all things and not let the devil come and steal every single thing that God and our forefathers have given America. Springtide Research says they are not looking for a solution to uncertainty. They don't care about uncertainty. Get my book, The Word. God will keep it. In my first chapter, I'll show you how every new version gets rid of certainty. It gets rid of reason. Why? Because Satanism, Aleister Crowley, Eastern mysticism, they don't want you to be certain of nothing. That's why modern science has gone to hell. They don't want to be what they call science. They've given up on certainty. It's mysticism. A lot of it was in mysticism to begin with. Freud came around and he says, I want to be the next revolutionary after Copernicus and Newton. I want to unlock the mind. And they said, okay, well, go ahead. Let's see if you can find it. You got the scientific method. You got your hypothesis. Now you got your test. Now prove it right or wrong. Year after year after year after year after year after year, he can't prove nothing. So then he said, well, what in the world are you even doing with psychology? We're just examining. So now just testing anything is called science. Yeah, I'm just testing and observing. We're just testing and observing. There it is. We're not proving anything true or false. We're just testing and observing. Testing and observing. That's scientism, folks. That's scientism. That's why psychology is not a science. And you don't need to be correcting the Bible with something that's just the philosophies of man that's not been proven right or wrong. You know, our Lord Jesus says, O faithless and perverse generation, and if you want liberty, my folks, if you want liberty, Psalms 119 says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. Isn't that something to be like David, where you say, I want to be free. I want to do whatever God says. That's how you're free. That's your liberty. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. But they're going to come to you, and they're going to say, guess what? You want to be free? Do what Eve did. You want to be free? Disobey your parents. Disobey your pastor. Disobey the King James Bible. I'm going to close by saying I don't think it's much of a problem with the youth that they don't believe in absolute truth. I believe they do believe in absolute truth. The problem is they believe they are the source of that absolute truth. But they believe it's relative in the sense that whatever you say is for you, but their truth is for them. So they absolutely do believe that they are absolutely right in what they do, but they believe that you have your truth and they have their truth, which is the most crazy thing that you could ever try to unscramble. But they don't believe there's a universal absolute truth for everyone. But then they tell you their moral relativism is for everybody. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the fact they say, now wait a second, there is no absolute universal truth for everybody. But then they come over and say, you know what? You ought to be a moral relativist. You ought to believe like I do. Because there's only one absolute truth, and that's moral relativism, that there is no absolute truth for everybody. Is that not the stupidest thing? Have you ever been preaching downtown and seen somebody that's a drunkard come over? And we did that for years back in the 90s. You got a drunkard come over, and here they come, and they have their fingers pointing at you. They're crossing the street, and they say, you shouldn't, and then they burp. Tell anybody what to do. You shouldn't, then they burp again. You shouldn't point fingers at others. You should leave everybody alone and let them do whatever they want to do and not get in other people's business. Do you hear me? And if you want to have some fun, say, well, you ought to follow your own religion. See, I don't believe your religion. In my religion, we can tell others what to do. They might not follow it, but it's good to go try to help people. But in your religion, you're not supposed to do what you're doing right now. You're telling me what to do and pointing fingers and getting mad and spitting on me. You shouldn't do that. And you know what? I tell you, 9 times out of 10, they sit there and look and their eyes start, they don't say another word. They just walk away. It's sad. But listen, go obey your religion. If all things are relative and you shouldn't tell anybody what's wrong, then go obey your religion. Stick to it. Somebody says, you're not adhering to the universal absolute relative religion. Ah, you must be a missionary of the universal absolute relative religion. Yes, I am. There are no universal absolute truths. We must all conform and obey this absolute truth of relativism. And everybody must follow it or else. I hope you can see the insanity of this, folks. I hope you can see the insanity. If everybody can just decide what they want to believe, and there's no standard anywhere about anything in regard to morality, then shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. These same people that come over, and you might go to an abortion clinic and say, you shouldn't kill that little baby. You know, would you please let somebody adopt it, you know, that wants this baby, and please don't kill that baby. Please don't do it. And you're trying to tell people, and then all of a sudden, you hear people say, you shouldn't do that. You should let people do whatever they want. But if you held up a sign saying, we're about to feed some puppies to a snake right now. Anybody want to come watch? God forbid. I'm not into that kind of stuff, but I tell you, you know what would happen? You would have a chaos in a Walmart parking lot. How dare you? Don't you dare. Wait a minute. What happened to your abortion clinic? Remember you told everybody not to get into people's business? But now, because it's little puppies, now you're in people's business, see? I hope you're seeing they don't keep their religion. It's madness. That's why I say it's insanity. It's insanity. But nevertheless, Christian Post this year says moral relativism is the majority opinion of Generation Z. New study reveals just 10% of young people surveyed strongly disagree that what is morally right and wrong changes over time based on society. Moral relativism hasn't just crept into the worldview of Generation Z. It is now the majority opinion. You know what you've been raised to believe? Even in a homeschool, you've got enough contact with the outside world that that you are picking this thing up. You are picking this thing up, see. No, we don't believe in moral relativism. We believe there are standards. Second Timothy 3 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Notice you're supposed to be sure of what you're doing, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You better find out where the things that you believe have come from. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. It sounds like you're supposed to check the Bible for everything you do and to make sure it comes from the Bible and not from Satan. There is one last objection, and I close my last verse for you today. Somebody's going to say, well, you do agree that there are some important things and some things that are of lesser importance. Of course I agree with that. Of course I agree with that. I believe there's greater sins and lesser sins. Now here's what I want you to realize. Our Lord Jesus also agreed that there are greater commandments and lesser commandments. But listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. See, after you're saved, you've got the eternal kingdom, but there's this millennial, thousand-year kingdom that's the time of reward before the eternal kingdom. And that kingdom that heaven is going to establish upon this earth, that John says is 1,000 years in Revelation 20, if you want to enter that kingdom, you might enter it. You might be good enough after you're saved, because listen, salvation in eternity is not by being good. It's by believing on the Lord Jesus, by His grace and mercy. But getting rewarded, and your Father says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, getting this prize of the kingdom and getting to reign with the Lord Jesus, that's by being obedient. Do you understand? And our Lord says, okay, let's say you get into kingdom. You've got enough good works and obedience to me to get into the kingdom. I'm going to then judge you on the little things. Because who's going to be... See, this whole thing's on authority. So let's just say that Betty is meticulous, even with little things. And Jenny, she's got the big things, but she's not meticulous with the little things. She said, you don't got to worry about that stuff. They both stand before the Lord. He says, well done, both of you, my good and faithful servants. You've both done really, really good. Oh, I'm so glad. We know we're saved in eternity, but I'm so glad we're going to get into the kingdom and get to reign with you. Yep. And then the Lord says, okay, the one that was meticulous, you're going to be the boss of her. Wait a second. Oh no, you get to be a boss of a whole lot of other people too, but you're taking orders from her. What? Hold on just a second. Why am I taking orders from her? Well, you didn't read the Sermon on the Mount. You didn't even read my first sermon. Right here in my first sermon, I told you that whoever breaks one of the least is going to be taking orders from those that didn't. Folks, you better get this straight, amen. The little things matter. They're not going to matter to your salvation in eternity. But they're going to matter to your kingdom reign, your reward. Okay, dear Holy Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that you are so faithful to give us everything we need, Lord. You've given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that we might be perfect, Lord, throughly furnished unto all good works, Lord, in everything. I pray right now, God, that you would cause those that hear this message and those that have to escape the bondage, Father, of following the devil, escape the bondage of rebellion and being haughty and high-minded and stubborn and hasty and rash. Oh, God, let us learn to settle down and be willing to listen and study and prove all things, and to know that what we're doing is right in your eyes, God. It'll take time, Lord. It'll take work. But Father, you're worth it. Thank you for saving us. We're sorry for the things that we've done, Lord, before salvation. And many of us are sorry for the things we've done after salvation, Lord. And we pray you'll just have mercy upon us. Help us reign high with you, Lord, that we might take those crowns and worship you with them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, any comments or questions that you have?